Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords and turn to Joel chapter 2? God is good all the time. You know, and he has a plan, which is called grace. And he has a will, which is practicing righteousness. And in verse 28, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, I want you to understand something, that God is pouring out his spirit. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Please understand it. It's not about that he's going to just touch every single one in the world. Has everybody got it? He says, my spirit is available to all flesh. Are you listening? In other words, he is available. It is available. His presence, his anointing is available to anyone who wants it. The word tells us it's available to everyone. The thing is many people don't know about it. Even Paul, who went up to the upper regions, ran into many disciples and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus? And they said that we didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. So there are still believers today that are in organizations, you might call them congregations, whatever, that have no idea about the anointing of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they're still walking around in the outer court in the arena of the message of salvation. Know that God can heal, but don't accept God to heal. Know that God can deliver, but don't accept God to deliver. And in this, it brings a form of godliness, but it's actually denying the power. And one of the things that the enemy loves to do is keep us in a place away from the power of God. Has everybody got it? That's his job, and he does it very well. But the word says that his spirit is available to any flesh, all humans. His spirit is available to all humans. And then he says something very profound. He said they're going to prophesy. In other words, they're going to speak things in. They are going to birth things in from the spirit into the natural realm. We have a teaching on that. And they're going to have dreams. And they will have visions. They will have dreams and they will have visions. In this, that means God is going to speak to them. Not in a normal state of humans speak to one another, but he's going to speak to them in dreams, and he's going to speak to them in visions. Is everybody with me? So in this, we are seeing much more visions and dreams coming about, more and more people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is a revival going on. And so many times we think that there's just going to be this tremendous rolling, moving of God that is just going to wipe out everybody, and everybody's going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit whether they like it or not. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Well, there isn't a secret about God, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't just do things in the secret arena. It's been going on. It's been happening. It was his promise. It was his covenant. He told his prophets that these things would come to pass. And he said this specifically when he rose from the dead to fulfill the feast of the Lord. And by fulfilling the feast of the Lord, the last feast that was fulfilled was called the Feast of Pentecost. And in the Feast of Pentecost, from that point on, God has been pouring out his Spirit. Has everybody got it? and he's going to continue to pour out his Spirit, and there will be reservoirs of the anointing of God in certain places where people are going to go to drink. They're going to go to get fed. They're going to go to get washed, refreshed, empowered, so they can maintain walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and going to places where it's dry land so they can continue to go. That's the purpose of it. And in this last days that we are at, and we are in last days, there's going to be more dreams, there's going to be more visions, and there'll be more signs. More signs. And in this, it is important that we are able to interpret what he's showing us. That is called visual language. There is a visual language. It's a language that is not spoken. It is visual. And it's brought to us by signs. Signs. Did you ever get a sign and then later on you realize what it was? See, if you didn't interpret it, you wouldn't know what's coming. A sign is not for the past. A sign is for the future. It's for something for you to grab hold of and interpret the sign that is called visual language, because everything speaks. Everything. Go to Luke 4. Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 18. I'll start at 17. Start at 16, okay? That way we can cover it all. 16. Luke 4, 16. Hey, some things just don't change. And so he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had handed the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Come on, everybody say this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the word of salvation. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's why the anointing's on you. Now, there's something very important here. It says, "and recover of sight to the blind." The word recover means to restore, get back, take back what's been taken from you. It said he wasn't coming to bring sight to the blind. He came to recover sight to those who have been blinded. And this is, he speaks of spiritual sight. It is recovery of the spiritual sight because they have been blinded. Why? Because they lost it. It was something that was lost or taken. So spiritual sight was lost or taken, and it was lost or taken in the Garden of Eden. And everybody born in the natural realm is blind to the spiritual realm. And the only way that those scales are moved is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, those scales are gone. Now, there is a process of some individuals who are able to follow God, trust God, hear his voice, but never see things. Are you listening? They never really see things because the scales are still there. Those scales are removed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the second chamber of the tabernacle. Remember, he came to recover sight to those who are blind. So that's why so many times you'll be talking to someone and they just don't get it. They can't see. And you'll be asking them, you'll be talking to things and you'll be painting a picture for them and they'll go, "Can you see that?" And they'll go, "No." It's because they can't spiritually see it, or they haven't put the effort to see, or they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hey, there are people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and gone back to blindness again. So it's a state of being, and that's in the chambers, and I'm not going in there now. Hallelujah. It's a state of being born again. There's a difference between saved and born again. Saved and born again. Saved people are out in the outer court. Born again live in the holy place. They live there. That's where they live. And that seed of God that's planted in me and you, that's when a person accepts Jesus as Savior, and he's saved. And when that seed is birthed, that person becomes brand new, fulfilling the scripture. He who's in Christ in the anointing is a new creation, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. There's a difference. And that's that state of being that you and I want to maintain, and that's being a born-again state of being, and you maintain that born-again state of being by living in the holy place. And so many people walk out after they've been in the most holy place, and they walk out back to the outer court again. And there's so many things that cause that, and we're not going there tonight. Visual language is what we're talking about tonight. That's a recovery of sight so that you can see the signs, and by interpreting them, it's called visual language. You know, so many times people are waiting to hear from God. Lord, I want to hear what you got to tell me. What are you telling me? And he'll show you something. What are you telling me? What are you showing me? Tell me. And he'll bring it across again. Believe me, God speaks you more in signs and in visions than he does out of his voice. Because majority of the time, people usually hear their desire more than they do the voice of God. But they call it the voice of God. But it's actually their desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Visual language. You know, you drive down the road and there's billboards all over, isn't there? That billboard is not speaking, is it? But it's got something written on it, doesn't it? You know, it's actually speaking, though, in one sense, isn't it? Everything that God has created has a voice. And it may not be speaking to you in what you're accustomed to in the human state of being. And that's why we're not to be walking in a human state of being and according to human precepts. We walk in another dimension and in another realm. That's why you're not to be led by your senses. If you've ever been in a plane or you've ever flown with somebody, and a pilot, he has to have so many hours of flight. When I was in the service and I was flying in helicopters, and we had to maintain our status, and we'd have so many night flights and so many day flights and so forth. And at night, the only thing that you could rely on was the instruments. That's it, man. You couldn't see nothing. You'd be running into trees and other planes and everything else. You had to trust those instruments. And sometimes, man, it just didn't feel like those instruments were right. It didn't feel. It's like, man, that instrument has got to be off. Recalibrate it. Make sure it's right, because it sure don't feel right. But that instrument was right. It was we who were off because we're so many times relying on our senses instead of the things of the Holy Spirit and what he's interpreting for me and you. Are we okay? Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 4. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Let's read this together. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but what? Further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a what? Guarantee. Now, this is something important because what he's saying, you have a desire to be more clothed from where you came from, but you don't realize it. And that desire has come now because the Holy Spirit that's on you, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want to be more clothed with your eternal instead of your mortal. And that is done, in other words, your eternal is the unseen, isn't it? In other words, you want to be who you have been created to be from the beginning. You really don't want to be who you are now. You want to be who you are when God first originally created you before you came in here. Does everybody get this? The moment, remember, when God created you, you were created on the other side before you came here. The moment you were conceived on this realm, you lost all memory. That's why you've been walking around wanting to know who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Because everything was lost. Everything was erased. All memory, all inheritance, everything. And now you've been living under the inheritance of the natural realm until you are born again. And these things get severed. Then you begin to receive your eternal inheritance. And part of it is eternal life. So when you begin to really see things of the way they're supposed to be seen, instead of the way that the enemy portrays the things that he wants you to see, you'll begin to realize that you are already eternal. And you are just walking in this realm as an eternal being. But you're wearing a flesh suit. But you are actually eternal. And because you're eternal, you should walk in the eternal realm. It's called walking in the Spirit. He says, let us not only walk in the Spirit, but live in the Spirit. So we want to live in the other realm, don't we? That's the holy place. That's where we maintain that born-again status or state of being. And in this, we want to be more clothed from where we came from than what we are now. That's why we always want more of Him. Now, verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I want you to grab hold of this, because he's saying, wait a minute. Everything that he just talked about is eternal. So if you walk by faith, remember, he came to recover sight. He came to recover spiritual sight, didn't he? So walking by faith is spiritual sight recovered. You are walking now. You are able to see spiritually. That is actually faith, to be able to see things spiritually. Now, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we no longer walk by what we see naturally. We walk by faith, what we see spiritually. That's how we live. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to see a car coming and you're going to ignore it and walk in front of it. Hello? Because you're going to get hit and die, and you're going to put on glory real quick. But you won't fulfill your mission. And we want to fulfill the mission that God has for us. And in that mission, there is His plan that He has for each and every one of us after we have been born again. Hello? And verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Again, we want to be further clothed with the things of spiritual immortality. We walk by faith, which is the recovery sight of spiritual sight. So we no longer walk by the carnal sight. We don't make our judgments by the carnal sight. We make our judgments by the spiritual sight. So that means for me and you, we have got to look beyond the temporary. We have got to look beyond the temporary. You know, you may look at a dresser, right? But you know, in that dresser there are clothes. That's where they go, don't they? That would be common sense, isn't it? But it's still looking beyond the pretty dresser, isn't it? There's something in that dresser that's called clothing, but you don't know exactly what's in that dresser. But see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look beyond the temporary into the spiritual. Everything you see here Everything that's going on in your life, every circumstance, every decision, we're to look beyond the temporary. That's why there's a teaching called seeing it through. So many people make a decision and they don't see it through because they didn't look beyond the temporary. The only thing they looked at, what was good for them. Look at how many mistakes we made and the things that we've done where it's not only affected us but many people because we were so selfish that we didn't look at how it affected everyone else. Because that's all we could do is look at what we felt. Me, myself, and I. Demonic Trinity. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we are to walk by faith, and that is spiritual sight, isn't it? Because it is actually recovered spiritual sight. Faith is not blind. I want to emphasize that. When people say they're walking by faith and God's not told them or showed them, that is not faith. That is stupidity. And they always get in trouble. Then they blame God because he didn't fulfill what he told them to do when he didn't tell them from the beginning. You know what spoke to them? Their desire. Because they were not able to see beyond the temporary. Glory. 1 Timothy chapter 4, is everybody there? Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the what? Latter times some will depart from the what? Now what's faith? Spiritual sight. So many people who were able to see are going to become blind. Are you listening? Many people who are able to see, let me tell you, you may be able to see today, but tomorrow you can be blind. Why? Because the devil can pull you right out of that place and put you right back. That's all you need to do is touch and agree with some of the things he's saying to you, and those scales start coming on. And the next thing you find yourself out in the wilderness, out in the place of outer darkness, when you were just in the holy of holies. He's always trying to draw you out of God's presence. He's always trying to replace what you can see with blinders. That's his job. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, I want to share with you that the spirit of Pharaoh is becoming dethroned. But I'm telling you that the spirit of Antichrist is getting ready to step on the throne. So you're going to see more and more and more Antichrist propaganda. And videos, movies, commercials, music. Many people are going to be drawn out. Because it says many will fall from the faith. Because one of the things that begins to happen is money becomes a... Because money controls people. The devil likes to use money to control people. So when money starts to get scarce and so forth, they start making decisions in how they feel. And they begin to accept what the enemy's telling them. And the enemy begins to put blinders back on them so they cannot see beyond the temporary. And the next thing they're doing is serving money. They're making their decisions on money instead of what they see spiritually. So everybody got it. That's why many will fall from the faith. That's why you're hearing about, look at the economy and all of these things that are happening. It's amazing, and all the politicians and everything that's going on. And people are standing up for what they believe is theirs when it really isn't. So you got all these fat cats getting these huge pensions and all of this other stuff while people are starving. And the thing is, they don't realize that there isn't any more money to pay them. So many people are going to lose their jobs. It's because they can't see beyond the temporary. Does everybody understand that? The only thing they can see, they're looking at the, me, myself, and I, and holding on for their future. Because their future is their own trust. They're trusting in themselves. They can't trust in God. So it promotes selfishness. It promotes covetousness. And it's offensive to the Lord. And it brings a curse. Depart from the faith, that means spiritual sight. By what? Doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. that will cause people blindness because of what they agreed with. So whatever they are told by the enemy, they came in agreement with them. When you come in agreement with the devil that he speaks to you, a blinder comes on. And the more you agree with him, the more and more and more, where now you're becoming more dark. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Visual language. In verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read this together. And since we have the what? Same spirit of faith. Hello. In other words, we see spiritually. Since we're all able to see spiritually. Hallelujah. According to what is written, I believed, therefore I what? Spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is what? Perishing. Yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. Why? Because the closer you're getting to God, the closer you're getting renewed into his image and likeness, even though your outward man is perishing. It says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, but the things that are what? So he's saying we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are unseen, because that's called faith. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we must begin to look beyond the temporary. We have a teaching called making what is unseen to become seen. But I want to talk about signs and visions and things that are being presented before us that God is showing us, that are speaking to us. And it's very important that we begin to see these things. You know, there's been so many times, and I can't tell you, I could write books on these things, about how many times God has spoken to me, and not literally spoken, do you understand that? But through a circumstance, through a situation, through an accident, through a healing, through a dream or a vision or a sign. These are called signs. A sign is displayed to you. When you interpret what the sign says, it is called visual language. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Let's read it together. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Well, how do they declare the glory of God? There's all kinds of signs up there, isn't there? And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Why? Because God's creation speaks. You see trees, you see life, you see all kinds of things. God's creation speaks. And night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. How about the stars? How about the moon? The sun. We know that the sun is a reflection of the sun, of the Son of God. It represents his light. It gives light to all, everything, brings life. Without the sun, there is no life on this planet. Everything would be froze. Wouldn't be a very nice place to live either. Day into day utters speech, night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or what, nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words are to the end of the world. In other words, God is speaking through his creation. He's speaking from the heavenlies. He's speaking from the earth and the things that he's created. There's always something. There's signs that he is real. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1. Revelation 12 and verse 1. Let's read verse 1 through 5. Now a what? A great sign. A great sign. I'm telling you, it was a great sign. A great sign appeared where? In heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. I love it. What's the moon represent? Satan. Does everybody get this? Okay, the sun represents the Son of God. The moon is a reflection of the sun, isn't it? And who's always trying to interpret the sun or portray the sun? Satan. So he is known as the light of night, right? Where Jesus is known as the light of day. Okay. It says, a woman clothed with the sun, and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now I want to share with you something very important, because this is a sign. Now that sign is speaking. And that sign will speak three-dimensional also. It will speak of past, present, and future. That's why you can't interpret these things. You can't get visual language from something without the Holy Ghost. Come on, are you with me? It says, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Those stars were called angels. They were under Lucifer's authority. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. In other words, he rose from the dead and then he went home. Now again, the great sign appeared. There was a woman clothed with the sun and on the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. The woman with 12 stars, we know that the woman represents Israel, present. Are you listening? It also represents Mary, the mother who gives birth, past. And it also represents the body of Christ, future. Now, it says that she had 12 stars, and those 12s in Israel, there was 12 tribes of Israel, right? Jesus had 12 disciples. Now the heavenlies have 12 constellations. So God is speaking from the heavenlies, isn't he? And in these heavenlies, 12 constellations, and I'm telling you, there's so much New Age garbage out there right now trying to tell people that the constellations have a message, and they do. But the message is not according to worldly understanding. And not a constellation has nothing to do with an age where people are calling it the age of Aquarius. It's an age of deception to the unknower, to the unbeliever. But in this, there are certain things that are ages. Ages are established by the feast of the Lord. And I'm not going into that tonight. But I want you to know that the 12 constellations starts with the Virgin. It shows this. This picture is in the heavenlies. The first constellation shows Virgo, which is a representation of a virgin who's going to give birth. The 12th constellation, in it, the last one, is a picture of Leo, the lion, which Jesus is going to return as the Lion of Judah. But all 12 constellations is the birth, resurrection, and the whole life of Jesus Christ in all 12 constellations and his return. And I'm not going to get into all of that tonight. But I just want you to know. But you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. Don't let somebody tell you that you're a Gemini, you're Aquarius, you're this. No, you are Christ. Because then you'll come under demonic influence. Why? Because those are interpreted by demonic forces to bring people into bondage without knowing the truth. So if a person can't visually understand or interpret the language of those constellations, they will be deceived. You know why? Because they cannot see beyond the temporary. Everybody with me? The whole 12 constellations is a message of salvation. Praise God. It is language in the sky. When interpreted by spiritual sight, becomes visual language. Sign in heaven. Every sign has a visual language. Go to Colossians 1. Didn't we just read that the Lord would pour out a spirit on all flesh and it was available and there would be dreams and visions, right? In other words, he's showing signs. He's showing us. Colossians 1. In verse 15, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God when he came in a natural realm. The firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. In other words, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, or preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, where? In your mind, by the wicked works that now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If what? If you indeed continue in the what? Faith. Why is he saying faith? Because he's saying if you become spiritually blinded, you will be lost again. You know, so many people are thinking, well, I'll just wait till my last breath and call out to the Lord. You know, some people never make it to their last breath. That's why he says today's the day of salvation. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not what? Moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Very powerful. Very powerful. And this, the invisible God in Jesus. So was Jesus a sign? Yes. Was that sign speaking? Yes. He was speaking in eternal language, wasn't he? But how many people didn't understand him? And why did he do signs? Think about it. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Were those all signs that were speaking to man, saying, listen, he's God. Amen? Hear him. Look at all the things that he did. Opened up a restaurant right in the valley out there, man. Was able to feed everybody. Didn't even have to order in nothing, man. They just brought a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish, and boom! Fed 5,000. Praise God. Praise God. The invisible God in Jesus. Jesus was assigned a man that was speaking eternal words. To see through Jesus the flesh. See, you had to see through the temporary. To see him as God. They couldn't see through the temporary. So he had to do more and more signs because he knew they couldn't see through. That's why the Bible says no longer acknowledge Jesus in the flesh. We're no longer to not acknowledge. Why? Because he's God. So we don't look at Jesus in the flesh. To see through the Jesus in the flesh, you see God the invisible. And to interpret the sign is called visual language. Psalm 89. In verse 19, what does it say? Psalm 89, verse 19. Then you spoke in a what? In a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. In other words, he spoke to him in a what? In a vision. So everybody got it. A sign interpreted. It's called visual language. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Uraba sharama kosama karya brohosando kiev robosa. Open eyes, Papa. Open eyes. Isaiah 6 and verse 9. Then he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not what? Perceive. In this, he's saying they can't see beyond the temporary. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. He was talking about dull-hearted, no interpretation of signs. The signs that God was bringing them, they could not interpret. They couldn't see them. They didn't allow those signs to speak to them. In Exodus 10. And I'm telling you, many people are going to fall from the faith. There are those who are believers who are able to see are going to become blind because of taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They're going to get sucked up into the world because of the arena of fear. And the Antichrist is doing everything he can. He is preparing his way right now to get into his throne position. In Exodus chapter 10, in verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these what? Signs of mine before him. And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son, the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that they may know that I am the Lord. So these signs are going to be so that individuals can interpret. They are going to speak of who God is. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. So understand, when individuals do not, in other words, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. Where there is no revelation, there is no restraints. Come on, get this. Where there is no revelations, there are no restraints. Because it's revelations that keep you restrained. In other words, people let go. They begin to slack off. They begin to get lazy. They begin to get compromised. Because there hasn't been a revelation. Revelations bring encouragement. Revelations bring not only encouragement, it increases faith. It increases thirst and hunger. That's why we must have revelations. You may be listening to teachings and a revelation come like, whoa, I want more. Because when that revelation comes, it causes you to want more. And when, you know, and after people get revelations and they begin to slack off and they begin to go to work and they begin to do things and they get more caught up in the work and all the, then the revelations aren't coming as they ought to, because they're not seeking for revelations. They're seeking to please man instead of God. And then the restraints are removed. Now they're looking for something else for fulfillment and don't even know it. Why? Because they've already agreed with the voice of the stranger, and that which they didn't used to do, they pick up now. Now they've gone back to the cigarettes. They've gone back to a drink. They've gone back to watching pornography. They've gone back to do other things. Why? Because they've come in agreement and those scales are now coming on their eyes. And they've been removed from the holy place and even out of the out into outer darkness. And now they're repenting, they're crying out for God for help because they're not accessing the holy place. It's because of lack of revelation or lack of visual language. Go to Daniel 5. Daniel chapter 5. That's why we must be consistent and disciplined, especially to gather. Daniel chapter 5. In verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which he had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple, the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. And in the same hour, the fingers of the man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that was wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his knees were loose and his knees knocked against each other. Hallelujah. Can you imagine there's this king and all the gold, and they're worshiping the God of gold and silver. All of a sudden the hand appears, and the Lord writes something on the plaster of the wall. This dude freaked. I'm sure he kept checking his glass. What's in here? Then he realized it was something supernatural. It was a hand of God. And his knees started shaking. And he started a band. No, I'm like it. Let's go a little further. In verse 24. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him of the Lord. And this was the writing, and this is the inscription that was written. Go for it. In verse 26. And this is the interpretation of each word. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. So they had to call Daniel to interpret the sign. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. They knew that the Holy Spirit was upon Daniel. And they knew that the Holy Spirit, by God Almighty, would give Daniel the interpretation of the sign. And that's called visual language. In Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. In verse 8, Genesis 9, 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast on the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, this is the what? Sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for the perpetual generations. I set my what? Rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of covenant between me and you. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I'll remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh, and water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow. So the rainbow speaks, doesn't it? That is a sign that comes, and it says covenant of God Almighty, saying I will never kill mankind with a flood over the whole earth. But how many people look at the covenant, they think there's gold at the other end of the rainbow? You know what I'm saying? Oh, let's follow the rainbow. We'll find a little, whatever they are, demon dressed in green. He's got a little pot of gold. Yeah, right. That's earthly interpretation. See, but you got to see past the rainbow. You got to interpret what the rainbow says. It says covenant of God Almighty. And I'll never destroy you by water. Nice. He's going to kill you by fire. Hello. Okay, thanks for the no water, man, you know. Because you know what? If he was going to do that, everybody would have an ark in their driveway. They try and escape what God's going to do. Can you imagine it? What are you doing in there? I'm building an ark. Yeah, you want to get it out of my driveway, you know? Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him. Say, testing him. And asked that he could show them a what? Sign from heaven. He answered and he said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. In other words, that's short for you idiots. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to them except the sign of the prophet of Jonah, and that's when Jesus would rise from the dead. Amen? But they could not discern, they could not interpret the sign, so they could get no visual language. Has everybody got that? They could discern what the weather was going to be like, but the signs of the times or the signs associated with the seasons or the move of God. God always shows signs in establishing his seasons of his moves. There's always signs that God shows in the area of how he is going to move. They couldn't understand, they had no visual language. James chapter 1, please. James 1. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the what? Testing of your faith, what? Produces patience. Now listen, in other words, God is testing your spiritual sight. He's testing your visual language. He's testing it. You are being tested. Why? Because what is coming, we must be able to discern. We must be able to read the signs that God is sending us so we don't fall into traps. We must be able to see beyond the temporary. Those who lack this information in the area of being able to interpret or visual language are going to be astray. They are going to be deceived. They're going to have to go through other things. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Samuel chapter 10. God is testing. He is testing us so that in the area where we're not seeing, he wants us to see. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 5. And after this, you, Saul, shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. In other words, they will be speaking things in. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Woohoo! And let it be when these what? Signs come to you that you what? Do as the occasion demands, for God is what? With you. In other words, when you see these signs, don't just throw them aside. He's saying, doing it as the occasion demands by these signs. In other words, visually interpret it. Get that visual language from that sign. And then do what he's telling you. You know, when you drive up to a stop sign, what does it say? Stop. Now, it doesn't speak to you, does it? But you can visually, if you can interpret S-T-O-P, you get a visual language. But there are certain specific signs and things. Even last week when the Lord showed me, when we were here and I shared about that there was a storm coming, I didn't actually share everything about it because I wasn't led to. But when I saw it, it wasn't a storm of rain, it wasn't a storm of thunder, it wasn't a storm of snow, it was a sandstorm. And when I saw the sandstorm, I knew it was coming from the Middle East. That was a sign given to me about the storm that's coming. It isn't coming from anywhere else. It's going to be coming from the Middle East. That's your future storm. That's why God wants us to be prepared. It was a sandstorm. It was a huge wave sandstorm. Is everybody okay? Good. When we see those signs, what to do is occasion to do what it's telling you to do. Go to Matthew verse 7. Matthew 7. Almost done. About 40 more scriptures. We'll be out of here. I'm only kidding. Settle now. Didn't you see the sign? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. What does it say? Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruit. Now, do fruits speak? Amen. They speak. Well, you got to interpret it, though, don't you? It's called visual language. So everybody got it? It's a visual. Is that a sign? A fruit is a sign, isn't it? It's visual language. But there's fruits, there's signs, all kinds of things that God, but we must begin to look beyond the temporary so we can get the true visual language, the true interpretation, and receive what he's telling you. Man, there's times when God will speak to you, a bus will drive by, and it will be a sign. You know, you may be asking, Lord, I need to find a pair of shoes, and I don't know where to go, and it's a you see, Walmart, you know, or something. You know, whatever it is, I don't, you know, you're gone. God can speak to you in all kinds of ways. Amen, but you got to be able to interpret the signs. It's called visual language. You know, it's amazing because there's times when the Lord will tell me to do something, and he'll also give you a sign for confirmation. And I'm telling you, I have seen things that have just blown me away. And like, he can move everything and do everything. He can change the weather just for you. I've seen it done. He can bring rain, remove rain. He can do things just for you to know. Sometimes he just likes to bring a sign to you to let you know he's there. But if you can't see spiritually, that's why people don't get revelation. Then they throw off the restraints and they start looking for something else. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's just for you. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, there's going to be many signs. I mean, this was years ago. Somebody called me. Said, oh, you got to see this. I said, what's up? In Tampa, there was a picture of the Virgin Mary on this huge, an outline of Virgin Mary on this huge building. And they said, oh, let's go look at it. I'm like, are you an idiot or what? That's a false sign. Oh, but all people are going around her and throwing flowers. And I'm thinking, ay, ay, ay. You know, that's idolatry. That's necromancing. It's speaking to the dead. It's sin. It's blasphemy. Has everybody got it? It's not right. And I kept telling this person, what are you doing? And she kept saying, yeah, but my friends and everybody are going. I said, you go, I ain't going. I told her, man, this is wrong. Don't go there. It's nothing but deception from the devil. I had this one guy one time who was in our program, and he came out and said that God showed up to him and all kinds of other stuff while he was sleeping. I said, oh, really? And I asked him a couple questions. And next thing I know, well, I prayed for him, commanded that familiar spirit to leave him because he was granola. And that's nutty and fruity. He was telling me that the angel of the Lord appeared to him with the Star of David on him. I said, the angel of the Lord ain't going to appear with the Star of David. He didn't need to. Carries the glory of God. Why does he need to carry the Star of David? He said, come over here. So we prayed for him, cast a familiar spirit out, and the power left him. The devil left him, the spirit left him, the power of God hit him. Next thing I know, he came walking over to me, and he said, "Man, I feel naked." I said, "Yeah, you've been fellowshipping with that familiar spirit for so many years. It's been your teddy bear." I said, "It's got to stop. You're just looking for emotion. Always feeling, 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 feeling. Oh, man, the feeling's gone. I feel empty." I said, "Don't worry about it. You're actually filled. You just don't know it." Next thing I know, he was gone. Took off. Picked up the familiar spirit again. And, you know, the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. And many people are not going to be able to discern that or see beyond the temporary. People get visited by their aunts and uncles and grandmothers and everybody else, and they think, "Oh, it's spiritual." No, it's demons, because they can't see beyond it. So we know that there's going to be signs and wonders by demonic forces. Go to John 14. John 14, in verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Visual language. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The spirit of what? Truth. Truth. Whom the world cannot what? Receive." The world can't receive the spirit of truth. Why? Because they're under deception. "Because it neither sees him," hello, "nor what? Knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be what? In you." Now go to John 16, verse 13. That's why the devil loves to keep people out of praise and worship. In verse 13, "However, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you" what? "Things to come." So you think he's going to show you beyond the temporary? Yes. Yes, he will. "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and" what? "Declare it to you." The spirit of truth. That's why it's so important. He's called the anointing. Everyone say the anointing. Amen. I want to close at a scripture here. It's in 1 John. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." So the only way to overcome the Antichrist and his deceptions is by the anointing. That's the only way. I don't care how much of the word you know. You must be able to see beyond the temporary. You must be filled with the Spirit so you can see. The Holy Spirit will remove those veils on your eyes, and you'll be seen beyond the temporary and be able to interpret the sign, which is called visual language. Things are going to get worse. They're going to sense of getting better. There's going to be a sense of getting better. But then all of a sudden, wham, things are going to change quickly. And we must be able to read spiritually. We cannot be deceived. Many are coming. Remember, the spirit of Antichrist is making his way. A lot of Antichrist stuff coming out. Even in the schools and everything else. A lot of persecution to believers and promotion to the Antichrist. There's much more promotion to the Antichrist now than there ever has been. But there's persecution more now than there's ever been to the believer of Christ Jesus. But you know what? Doesn't mean we have to get run over. We got to stand strong. We fight spiritually. Because if you're not a fighter, you're a loser. If you're not in a battle, you become a what? Casualty. And we want to win the battles. We've been predestined to win the battles. Because he who in us is greater than he who is in the world, and we are more than conquerors. Through Christ. That's the anointing. Is everybody okay? You got it? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Father, in any area where we are blinded, and we ask that your light would take dominion. We repent for any area where we've agreed it brought scales on our eyes, and anything that we touched that may have brought scales on our eyes. We ask, Lord, that anything that we've gone back to that has brought bondage to us, that you would expose it and give us the power and the authority in the name of Jesus the Christ to sever ourselves from those things, that we may walk in purity of heart, clean hands, and sight. I pray a blessing over each and every one here today, Lord. Keep us, show us, and grant us revelation that we may maintain the restraints in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Be blessed.